better put him in the Heisman.
Got that wood right here, baby.
This is the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light, proud sponsor of Arkansas Athletics.
They're going to run and get that boot.
The Arkansas Razorbacks have completed the dream season.
A baseball team is on the way back. A College World Series title. The Bomb Stadium.
I almost got fired because I went Willie the Boss after I had a little too much sauce.
This is the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast.
Welcome back into the Morning Rush on a Toyota Tuesday. Be sure to check out all new 2019 Toyota vehicles at your local Arkansas Toyota dealer, including the Highlander with plenty of room up to 8 people, the stylish new Corolla, the work-ready family tough Tundra, and the go-anywhere 4Runner Toyota. Let's go places. Been having some good conversation this morning. Apparently, at least from our reactions in the Cherokee Casino Hotline, people aren't really on the lane train, if you will, Tommy.
Yeah. Well, I think it's interesting. I mean, I know, obviously, you follow Twitter better than any of us here. Lane has started following some random people in Arkansas.
Yeah,
I don't know what, I don't know if that's him trolling.
Probably. He is a master troll.
How do we get him to follow the show? Or follow one of us? That's what we got to figure out.
I think begging is a good way of doing it. You know, just keep tweeting at
him. I'm not into groveling.
Yeah, so. I can understand that. Well, here's the thing. It's not the ultimate when you do put up a Twitter poll, so it may not be the greatest indication, but I put up a poll yesterday of just simply, would you like to have Lane Kiffin as the next Razorback head coach? And over 2,000 people voted, so that's a good sample size. 68% said they are on the Lane train.
All right. So what are people saying this morning? You said it's a little bit different response this morning.
Yes, we a little different response. We have Corey and Rogers saying, if the AD has to get this hire right, why would Kiffin even be considered? As a head coach, what he has done, what has he done that is so impressive? He hasn't built anything at this point in his career, has he? No.
Things didn't go good at Tennessee. They didn't go good at USC. Florida Atlantic. Yeah.
I think people are probably hoping that that stint with Alabama and Nick Saban like shored him up a little bit. Yeah.
As a head coach, yeah. Call or text your thoughts to us on the Cherokee Casino Hotline, 877-377-6963. That's what people are counting on, is that Nick Saban groomed him up. And I think it's really important who he would surround himself. If he's trying to sell himself for this job to Hunter Yurecek, if I'm in Hunter Yurecek's seat, first thing I want to know, or one of the first things I want to know, who will be on your staff? Who would your coordinators be? How would you go about formulating your staff of assistant coaches? Give me the recruiting backgrounds, and how do you attack Texas with the staff you're trying to put together from a recruiting standpoint?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that would be the ultimate question. Because from what it looked like, at least, Lane Kiffin was a good recruiter. You know, he caused some problems at Tennessee with taking shots at Urban Meyer and all that, but I mean, as far as the recruiting rankings went, he got some good players. So, you know, I don't know. I think it's just a fascinating thing because he's one of those coaches that, you know, he would want to come to Arkansas. He wants the job, you know, the whole thing with when he was at Oakland. And he's still trying to prove himself as a head coach. This isn't like a Mike Leach thing where the guy's proven himself. This would just be another step in his resume. This guy in Lane Kiffin, he needs to take that next step if he wants to continue to prove himself. So why not at a place like Arkansas?
A coach that's in a group of five conference is always going to be interested in the open SEC job for obvious reasons. And I think he would love to be back in the same division with Alabama. But I think more than anything, who doesn't want to double your salary?
That's always nice. It's always nice.
So, I mean, there's obvious reasons that Lane Kiffin would be very interested in the Arkansas job and willing to take it. Arkansas's got to get this one right for a lot of reasons, not just to shore up the program, but if not, then it's two coaches in a row by virtue of just unable to win at Arkansas whose careers have went down the tubes.
Yep.
Brett Bielema's career was well on track. Big Ten championships, Rose Bowl appearances, all of these things. We know the resume. Comes to Arkansas, it derails his career.
Yep.
Chad Moore is trying to get his career on track. Comes to Arkansas, can't win here. Gets fired less than two full seasons into the role. You go a third coach that can't win here, people are going to start saying, it ain't the coaches you're hiring. It's the program.
Yep. Program is poisonous. That's how people
it's a place to go to end your career.
Yeah. And that's the last thing you want to
do. And Arkansas, that's another reason Arkansas has got to get this thing right. And you hope for good fortune and that things work out quickly. Like and I say quickly, I mean like season three. And you can't have any more of these embarrassing losses that Chad Morris led you through. So it's important for Arkansas as a program not to be labeled as a career killer for football coaches. No one wants to come here of merit because that's the place your career goes to die.
Mm-hmm.
You do it three times in a row? Because Chad Morris's career as a head coach may very well be finished now.
He's for a very long time.
He may have a hard time even getting a coordinator's role in the Power 5 conference. It will be interesting to see where he pops up next. And some would say, well, that's where he belonged all along. You may be right about that. Maybe he was in over his head at SMU as well. Because obviously their results have been much better without him.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, but Brett Bielema's coaching defensive line in the NFL, which isn't a bad job.
And here's the thing, too. Not that it really matters.
But he's not a head coach.
Right, know? Right. And here's the thing, too, that it may not really matter because everything's different. But if you look at it, every program, at least the major ones that Chad Morris has left, has gotten better when he left. I mean, Clemson was going on the right direction.
So that's what we have to hang our hat on.
I'm searching, and I'm trying to throw out whatever works. Hey, but, hey, every program's gotten better.
Who wouldn't sign up for what SMU's doing right now?
Oh, 100%.
No, it's not in the SEC, obviously. But
still, like Arkansas just wants to get back to where they're going to bowl games. I mean, this is going to be your third straight year to miss a bowl game.
After making what Bielema took him to, was it three straight bowls?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So you just got to get back to that point. I think everybody would sign up for that. Let's go to the Cherokee Casino Hotline. Danny is in Russellville. What's going on, Danny?
Good morning, guys. Lane Kiffin, he's single, right?
Yes, according
to... We're not sure about Joey Freshwater, but Lane is.
He'd be down on Dixon Street chasing wild, wild women, wouldn't he?
Well, we've never had a coach do that before.
Exactly. As long as he wins, who cares?
What about, I heard the name thrown out, Luke Fickell at Cincinnati. They haven't lost very many games the last 2 years. What do you think about that?
I mean, I guess. You know, I haven't really just dove
put
into...
Put it on the list.
Yeah, just put it on the extra list of coaches to look at.
Well, I looked it up, and he's got six kids, and they were saying, well, he might not want to leave Cincinnati because he's pulled his kids out of school. Well, he's only making around less than $2 million a year, so... If you double his money, he'd pull them kids out of school, I guarantee you.
Yeah. Well,
but the basketball team, look what a difference it made when we hired Musselman, how things that the perception has changed. And that can happen with the football team. Just think, we've given up 45 points or less in three games. And I know, if it was last year, we would have given up at least 70 to all three of those teams. And we might have lost one of them because we were very careless with the basketball, and we were not well coached. Mm-hmm. I hate to say it, but this team is well coached, and we'll be the best we can be with what we got. We don't have any height, but we have a lot of quickness, and he's using that quickness. I mean, people, they're shooting 13% or something like that from three-point range. I mean, I know that's not going to last like this, but we're going to be as good as we can be, guys, and maybe we'll get some comments from you guys, and thanks for taking my call.
Yeah, well, appreciate the phone calls always, Danny.
I think it's interesting. You know, the conventional thought process is, well, if you're going to play seven guys and they're going to play 35 minutes a game, they're going to be wore out come February. And Eric Musselman was asked about that, and Musselman's response was, you know, in the NBA, they played five nights a week and no one seemed tired.
Yeah.
So I think I've always thought you're asking – 20-year-olds to play two games a week, I don't think is going to wear them out. Now, does it have its wear and tear on your body over the course of months? Sure. I think there's some parts of it that catches up to you by February. But I think they know how to manage that. I think the practices get less intense mm-hmm. in all likelihood come January, February, headed into March. The rehab process is better than it's ever been before. Cold tubs, hot tubs, massages, all the things that, you know, these college athletes have at the ready now
mm-hmm.
to make their bodies as good as they can be.
Yeah, the recovery is very,
exactly.
very good.
cryotherapy. I mean, you can go on and on about the things they do to keep the body as good as it can possibly be. So I'm not as worried as some are about the fact that there's no depth. And once you get Chaney back, there's an eighth guy. Mm-hmm. He talked about that last night on his radio show, that it sounded like it was going to be sooner rather than later.
Well, he says today they're going to make the announcement on what's going to be happening, which, right, you know, you're hopeful that it's just, hey, he's coming back. So
his comments last night, I mean, I don't know, you don't want to read too much into it, but he said Reggie had done all the things that he'd been asked to do. So, well, if you're doing what you've been asked to do, it tells me you're probably going to be reinstated soon.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So, and getting him back, like you mentioned, would be big for depth. But, yeah, I'm with you. I don't think it's as big of a deal to make sure that you're playing nine guys if you don't have to.
All right. I mean, just, I understand you're going to get tired, legs are going to be sore, you know, all the things that go along with it. But two games a week at 20 years old, I think, well, we get a little overblown about that.
And real quick, Eric Musselman said he'd rather have a tired Isaiah Joe taking a three than some other person who's fully strength that not to take a three itself.
All right. He's just more talented.
That's right.
Hey, pardon me. Do you have experience transporting frozen and refrigerated goods and want to be part of a trucking family with insurance, be home every week? You need to contact Brent Higgins Trucking. Since 1997, Brent Higgins Trucking's been in Mulberry, but they proudly deliver to and from various areas of the United States, including, but not limited to, Oklahoma, Texas, Louisiana, and Mississippi. Brent Higgins Trucking, where you're a name, not just a number. Call Brent today at 479-997-2366. That's 997-2366, or apply online, BrentHigginsTrucking.com.
Let's go back to the Cherokee Casino Hotline. Miss Lisa is calling from Northeast Arkansas. What's going on, Miss Lisa?
Well, hi, John. Thank you for taking my call. And let me remind y'all of something a few years ago about Lane Kiffin. He left Tennessee minus a wife because of the Tennessee Tinkerbells. And if you'll remember, the Tennessee fans burned their couches on their front porches. Now, that's why true. Would we want him here?
10 years can change a lot. 10 years can change a lot, Miss Lisa.
No, no, no. Most of the time, now, as we get older, I'm a proven example of that. We slow down. Yeah, I was really bad at 20. If you think I'm bad now at 61. But you sort of, but no, the character, the inner character usually remains the same. I don't want him. And I'm telling you who I want, and people can throw a fit, run off the road, hit a tree, whatever. We've got to have somebody step in here with a name that can go out and immediately make an impact. And whether y'all like it or not, or whether I like it or not, I hope Alabama beats the socks off of Auburn and we get Gus Malzahn. Oh, yes, that's who I want. I know he played us 2 years ago, and I know all this stuff about that was 10 years ago, too. So if we're going to go back 10 years, let's throw all this back 10 years. I'm tired of playing with up-and-comers, pirates, tinkerbells, and all that kind of stuff. I want a proven coach that can come in here and hit the ground running. That's the only way I will renew and keep my season ticket. I'm not going to renew my season ticket for Lane, Couch Burning, Kiffin. Y'all have a great day.
Well, Lisa, before you go, can I ask you, what do you mean by Tinkerbells? What is that?
Well, you know, they had these, in fact, I think they've been disbanded since then. You can Google it. They had what they called the Tennessee Tinkerbells. And they were girls in a sorority that when they would get a recruit on campus, that Tinkerbell was assigned to that recruit to show him around. Okay.
They call them recruiting hosts.
You see where I'm going?
I feel what you're putting down. Yeah.
Okay. And there was some, you know, stuff that was reported now. I wasn't in Knoxville walking around with Tinkerbells, but it was reported that Lane, you know, and him and his wife divorced and blah, blah, blah. And they had named their son Knox after Knoxville. I mean, it was just a complete mess. Listen, we've had too many complete messes. And people say, well, everybody gets, and I believe in second chances. My gosh, if we're going to give somebody a second chance in Arkansas, I'd rather give it to Bobby Petrino, which I know we're not going to get as I had Lane Kiffin. But my vote, for whatever it's worth, which isn't very much, but yes, I'm for Gus Malzahn. I sure am. Mm-hmm.
Hey, listen.
You could do a lot worse. You've been doing worse.
Yeah, so.
Well, and John, you said the other day, no way would we get Gus Malzahn.
I still stand by that statement. I just don't think there's any chance that our Gus Malzahn comes back to Arkansas.
Well, he may not. He may not. And, if he doesn't, I don't know who we're going to. I'm so leery when I hear certain names, like the guy that just called in, which is a great caller, Luke Fickell. Coach Fickell, I don't want no Coach Fickell. You know, after what we've been through, we get a Coach Fickell. We don't. I mean, we've got to watch. We've got to put somebody out there with a good name, a good looking face. I mean, we've got to get this thing right in all aspects. And people say, "Well, what's their name and looks got to do with it?" Listen, when you're Arkansas right now, we can't take any more jokes.
Yeah. Well, we appreciate.
Well, do you agree or disagree?
No, I agree with you. I agree with you. But I do believe, though, that there can be some elements where, hey, listen, if you got to get a coach that may be a little off the wall, maybe a little, we'll have some skeletons in the closet. It's not always the worst thing because, hey, Arkansas hired Bobby Petrino when he had some stuff going on, and it worked out pretty well as far as on the field. So just saying there could
be
a lot
worse. We've all got skeletons in our closet, but I don't want a coach standing up at the mic, and you know who I'm talking about. With a skeleton standing beside him. I'm tired of playing games.
Yeah.
I want a coach.
Yeah.
Thank you for taking my call.
Well, thank you as always, Miss Lisa. By the way, Maddie, was it, in Ace Ventura, was it Finkel?
Ray Finkel, yes.
Ray Finkel, yeah. Okay.
Remember, Laces Out.
That's right. That's what I was thinking of. So that's when I keep hearing Luke Fickell. Yeah. I think of Ray Finkel from from Ace Ventura. But
I was reading through some things on Twitter there as Miss Lisa was laying down knowledge, and apparently Mike Irwin was talking about him on some segment yesterday that he was hosting, and that's a name that's gaining some ground because of some talk in other parts of the media.
Talking about Lane Kiffin?
No, Fickell.
Or Fickell. Okay. Yeah. Well, that makes sense. And listen, I mean, there's going to be some names that get thrown around there, and I know people, I mean, my goodness, our texting line's blowing up with people that are talking about Miss Lisa. So essentially, she's on the Gus bus, not the Lane train.
Right.
That's what it sounds like. So, but I just, man, Tommy, I just don't see any way that Gus Malzahn comes back. I just don't see any way it happens.
Well, I think if they look, I mean, he's already facing some heat from media and fans after losing to Georgia. And that was 21-14. You go and you lose to Alabama without Tua, and I just think it then becomes a situation where, you know, how much longer does he want to sit and try to dodge all these swinging axes at his head? Because that's every time he loses, he's no longer good enough.
Well, even Paul Feinbaum said yesterday that he thinks that Gus Malzahn just needs to get out of that situation at Auburn.
Well, he's been saying that for a couple of weeks since the Arkansas job came open, yeah, that Gus should just come home.
Yeah.
So, I, you know.
But would you want him?
Again, I think he is kind of the Pied Piper or the guru of a lot of this type of offense. Now, he has lost his touch offensively in recent times.
But their defense that's been really good.
Question is, could he rally the home state recruiting? I know this. He is revered by high school coaches in this state. And that's one group of people you really need to have won over immediately. There would need be no conscious effort had to be put into the fact of helping Gus get the best players in this state to come here. The high school coaches would not be standing in the way, I don't believe.
No, I don't think so either.
And that's a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
I know he is beloved by the high school coaches in the state for the most part.
Yeah. And
even like, the ones everybody makes a big deal out. Even the ones he beat, you know, 88-4 or whatever back in his days at Shiloh Christian, you know, they still like him. So
yeah, I mean, and there's some people that will never, ever stop liking him for what he's been able to do. Let's go ahead and go back to the Cherokee Casino Hotline. JR's in Marshall. What's going on, JR?
Hey, guys. How's it going this morning?
Pretty good, man. But you?
I'm doing all right. This whole deal with Gus Malzahn, you know, aside from the fact that he is an Arkansas boy, you know, his record at Auburn, you know, what is it? It's amazing what the expectations are of the fan base as you go around the league. You lose to Georgia 21-14, and you're fixing to play Alabama, you know, and that would be, how many conference losses would that be if he loses to Alabama? Two or three? Three conference losses?
Yeah, I got the conference
standings right here in front of me. Auburn right now is 4-3, so a loss in the Iron Bowl would finish their SEC run at 4-4 and would move them to, well, they're going to win this week, but that would make them 8-4 on the year. So,
you know, and you talk about firing him, you know, losing to the number one team in the country, and then you lose to Georgia, which is going to be playing for on the east side divisional championship. Probably going to beat Alabama, I would say. Being the two is not in there, I would say that Auburn's defense is probably going to be, you know, they're pretty outstanding. Yeah. But my point is this right here. You know, the expectation at Auburn is so high, and he's come under fire, but his offense has really been stagnant the last couple of years. I mean, it's not like he's had this just, you know, high output, and he's right in the recruiting hotbed of the Southeast Conference. He's not very far from Atlanta, Georgia.
Nope.
If I understand that right.
You
got to look at this thing, you know, from a third person looking in as someone who's going to bring something to the table other than just being an Arkansas boy. We don't have enough recruited players or enough players for Division One in the state of Arkansas to build up our team like it needs to be. I mean, that's just the fact of the matter. Everybody knows that. You know, he would definitely help out with that. But what do we have, like 5 or 6 a year maybe that come out for D1 every year? Out of high school?
Yeah.
Power five. So, and you probably don't have that many for power five, you know, right. SEC so, level. I mean, you know, how many SEC players are in this state, you know?
Right. So I understand you want to get all the home kids you can, but you've got to keep these pipelines to Texas, Louisiana open, you know, for that program to thrive like it needs to. I mean, that's just a fact of the matter. So anyway, you guys have a good day.
No, you're exactly right. You cannot win in this state. Now you're going to have the best players in the state because historically you look at all of Arkansas's best teams, the two deeps are littered with Arkansas players.
Oh, yeah.
They just want to play harder for the University of Arkansas than they would for anyone else in the country. It means more.
Mm-hmm.
Or at least it has. And I just wonder, with Arkansas's recent downturn in football success, I don't think it's different, but John, you got to think about it. These 17, 18-year-old kids you're recruiting were 9 or 10 the last time they saw Arkansas have a winning football program consistently. You know, have they grown up admiring the Arkansas football program? We've seen this in basketball where a generation went by without watching a lot of winning.
Mm-hmm.
Football, you're teetering on that right now.
You are, but I still think that there's time to get it back. You just got to get it back quick, fast, and in a hurry.
Yeah.
You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light, proud sponsor of Arkansas Athletics.
Everybody's staying home. Now he does a tightrope act. Boy, Houdini's in the house. We're at number 3, and nobody's home to watch that house. Touchdown, Hogs! Holy Hog!
If you want to get on the conversation, 877-377-6963 is the number to call or text in the Cherokee Casino Hotline. Matty T, go ahead and give the people their Morning Rush update.
This is your Morning Rush update. The Razorback depth chart has 3 QBs listed in an or situation, like Nick Starkel or KJ Jefferson or John Stephen Jones or Lunny could be the QB.
Maybe.
Lunny couldn't be because he's the interim coach.
Oh, yeah. Well, I guess he could be.
But, I think he probably outplayed those guys.
Based on his answer, we don't really have much information. So as much as things change, how they stay the same.
Yeah. What was it, Tommy? With three oars?
Three oars in a boat going a circle, right?
Oh, my goodness. That's classic.
I'm going to have to write that down.
That's a good one.
That's a good one.
Tommy has one of those every so often. So that was a good one there this morning.
One thing about Lonnie, I think it's he cannot answer the question, but he takes a lot more time to do it. You know, instead of just not answering it in 30 seconds, now
he's better at it than Morris.
Right.
He is much better at
not answering questions.
Yes, he is. He's a better soundbite than Chad Morris.
Eric Musselman says the status of Reggie Chaney's suspension will be made known today in a statement.
Yeah, which is something that I know we've been wondering about when he's going
to
be back.
He spoke last night on his radio show. I don't know if y'all got to listen to Eric Musselman live at Sassy's. But he pretty much led you to believe that he's coming back sooner rather than later based on the fact that he said, Reggie's done everything we've asked of him. He's met all the requirements, to that effect.
But something like Bob Holt asked yesterday in the press conference, he says, well, I just don't understand why you can't name him now and just tell us status going to be. Why you got to wait a day? Obviously, you know. So why not tell us now? But I guess he's got a way of doing things.
I can tell you, you're trying to really throw off Texas Southern today.
Yeah, that's right. You can't prepare
for it. Texas Southern game plan's probably rattled.
Same with the quarterback situation.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, absolutely.
Maybe you put Reggie Chaney or Adriel Bailey in the starting lineup. Maybe that's what you should do.
I'll punch myself in the face if that happens.
And finally, a Hawaii man was surfing with his girlfriend when he knelt down on one knee on his board and proposed to her. As she said yes, he accidentally dropped the ring in the ocean.
Oh, no.
Despite his best intentions, he'll be hearing about this one mistake for the next 50 years.
Oh, is that not the dumbest thing? Like, I know that it'd be
surely
cool.
You had an insurance.
Yeah. But yeah, sure.
Insurance
on that dude. First off, have a backup. Have it tied to your finger or something like that.
I did read deeper into the story. He had back on the shore a backup ring.
Okay,
yeah, so he did. Bought two rings?
Yes.
Man.
So, right there. Yeah, it's like, I mean, I guess if you've got enough money to propose out on the ocean on surfboards.
Certainly hope so.
It's an interesting photo op, too. So
yeah, which is fine.
I mean, you're already... I don't care. I mean, first of all, any of us would fall off the surfboard in the middle of the ocean.
I wouldn't even be able to get on it.
And I'd be willing to do that in Hawaii, but you're going to be nervous anyway, right? If you're not nervous proposing, then something's wrong.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a bad plan.
It's all bad.
Yeah, I wonder if that is ever going to come up when she's had too many glasses of wine one night, you know?
Yeah. Hey, so, you know what?
Maybe you got a story.
Maybe it'll be like the Titanic. Maybe it's one of those rings that's like really expensive and someone's going to go diving for it and then make a fortune on it, you know, hundreds of years later.
I thought that she would be laying on the board and then he'd be in the freezing cold water dying while she's taking up all the space.
What a great way to start.
For more stuff like that, be sure to head to hitthatline.com for all fantastic Morning Rush content and great Razorback coverage with articles, videos, podcasts, and more. That's only available at hitthatline.com.
All right, appreciate it, Matty T. There you have it. There's your Morning Rush update. Let's go to the Cherokee Casino Hotline. Eric is in Fort Smith. What's going on, Eric?
I just wanted to touch base on like what we saw in the LSU Ole Miss game with like Plumlee. I don't know how many yards rushing he had, but we saw several running touchdowns. He had 40, 50 yards plus. I think after seeing that, you got to go with mobile quarterback Jefferson. Give yourself definitely more opportunities to create plays for our offense and everything. And I also wanted to touch base on the Lane Kiffin thing because I do have a question. I'm all aboard on if we did hire him, that could be great recruiting and everything. But what about the ties that him and Lance Thompson have with Sam Pittman? And if he could bring Sam Pittman over, you really got something there, I think. And can you imagine Fayetteville next year when we host Tennessee? That would be pretty epic. But anyway, I'll hang up and listen.
Yeah, well, appreciate the phone call, Eric. You know, that's the thing is no matter who the coach is, if it is Lane Kiffin or whoever, you want to get somebody that's going to bring in a good staff and a staff that can recruit, a staff that can develop. Because I think that, for instance, I know we're always going to keep comparing it to Chad Morris's as 2 year plus, but I felt like one of the things about his coaching staff is they were fantastic recruiters. I mean, let's be honest about it. They were going out and they were doing some great recruiting methods that place like Arkansas really hasn't seen before, and it was really paying off. But the problem, I think, was is as great of a staff you had in recruiting, you were missing opportunities on developing and on actually coaching on the field and being able to make these guys better and get them well-prepared. That was missing. So you got to have all the elements that go along with it, but you got to be able to assemble a staff that can develop players and get them in positions to be successful. So, I want to see whoever the coach is not have a staff full of a bunch of unknowns. Or a bunch of up-and-comers. It's one thing to have the coach be an up-and-comer, but it's another thing to have an entire staff full of up-and-comers. And for the majority of it, besides these guys like Steve Caldwell and John Chavis, that's really what you saw across the board on the offensive and defensive staff. So whoever the coach is, they need to bring in a bunch of guys that can help them out in recruiting and developing, because that's, I think, something that really hurt Arkansas when you had the situation with Chad Morris. That is for sure.
No, I mean, you've got to have that staff. And again, I go back to, you got to have enough guys on that staff to recruit Texas. That you cannot lose that pipeline that you built there. And that's one thing. You can say what you want about Chad Morris, and certainly the results aren't there. The record speaks for itself. But his recruiting plan was working. And as much as you did not like the results, as much as none of us liked the results of what you were seeing on the field, the recruiting plan was working. And just look at the number of decommits, and that's very understandable. But these are not players that were in just totally on the University of Arkansas. These were players that were in on Chad Morris and his staff, and with the uncertainty, they've decommitted, and it's like all the Texas guys. So you better have some way to shore that up and do it quickly, and that's by who you hire down there, and you know, that's one thing that Jeff Traylor has done a great job of.
Exactly. So you got to be able to establish some of that, and you know, again, whoever the coach ends up being, that's going to be important. There's no doubt about it. If you want to get on the conversation, call or text the Cherokee Casino Hotline, 877-377-6963. Here on a Toyota Tuesday on the Morning Rush, be sure to check out all new 2019 Toyota vehicles at your local Arkansas Toyota dealer, including the Highlander with plenty of room up to 8 people, the stylish new Corolla, the work-ready family Tough Tundra, and the Go Anywhere 4Runner. Toyota, let's go places. They have a few people that are texting into our Cherokee Casino Hotline, and it seems like a lot of them, when we've been talking about the Lane Kiffin angle, they're not for it. They're not for it at all, because of his resume and because of the issues that he's had. Tommy, did you ever see the Tosh.0 segment on Lane Kiffin? Do you even know what I'm talking about?
I know what you're talking about with Tosh, but no, I have not seen that segment.
Okay, well, he kind of looks like Tosh.0. So just, I can't play it on the air, but just give it a watch if you ever get a chance, because that'd be the thing I'd be looking forward to the most.
Now I have seen that. Now that
Kiffin's Crimson Corner.
Yes.
So who knows? Maybe Tosh.0 would be able to do a new segment on Lane Kiffin coming to Arkansas. Yeah.
Just looking at his staff, I just Googled it and pulled it up here. Just see if there's some names that people might be interested in. If you look at the staff he's got at Florida Atlantic, and I guess one of the names that stick out is his offensive coordinator, Charlie Weiss Jr. I mean, so, you know, that might be the most notable name, not because of Charlie Weiss Jr., but because of, just the connection there and Charlie Weiss. But previous caller mentioned Lance Thompson, who's the recruiting coordinator, defensive line coach. I think most of the names that are on his staff are going to be names that people are very unfamiliar with. So I think one of the things he would have to convince me, if I'm in Hunter Yurecek's seat right now making this decision, is what big-time assistants, what big-time coordinators can you get to come along with you? Who else can you hire to coach at this level? So that's, for a guy like Lane Kiffin to sell himself on this job, it's going to me be all about staff and who he could assemble.
Yeah, because to me, the coaching staff, I think, listen, a head coach, it goes a long way. It certainly does. If you get a great head coach, it's going to come along with it. And I know that other coaches depend on various things to be successful. For instance, Tommy, did any of Bobby Petrino's assistant coaches you look at and say, oh, yeah, that's why they're so good, is because of Chris Klinakis? Like, no, not to say he was a bad coach, but that was all done. That success that Arkansas had was all done by the head honcho, Bobby Petrino. It was him. And there are other coaches that have to rely on having great assistants around them to be able to be successful. And that's why one of the reasons why Brett Bielema at least started off even having some sort of success is, in my opinion, because he had a great staff around him. Mm-hmm. So you can do it different ways. There's different ways to skin a cat. But with Arkansas, I think a healthier way of going about it was to be able to have a coach that can bring in a lot of great assistants that can go out and help the head coach themselves, because it just seems like it's a lot easier to sustain. And if you're a team that continues to have assistant coaches go out and get better jobs, that's a good reflection on you and your team. So whoever it is, I just hope that they understand that that's going to be important. And as far as the recruiting aspect, do you still want to say that recruiting Texas is kind of the utmost importance when it comes to who you're getting as far as recruiting goes?
I don't think Arkansas can win consistently without recruiting well in Texas.
I agree.
I think if you look at the history of Arkansas football, it's always been a roster filled with, you know, several dozen Texas players. I'm not saying that's the only place you got to get players from, but I mean, and I know a lot of that goes back to Southwest Conference ties and Southwest Conference days, but there's clearly a pipeline of students that want to come from the Dallas metro area up here to attend school at the University of Arkansas. I think there's a certain pipeline from East Texas you've got to tap into to get players. And you've got to give those players a reason to come, and I think it's just going to take a season or two of showing the direction and the plan is working. Chad Morris never got to that point. But one thing that was working, back to what I said a minute ago, the recruiting plan seemed to be having traction and success. So just couldn't get the results on the field. It's one thing to get great players. You got to know what to do with them once you get them here. It's the whole package. It's the whole ball of wax.
Yeah, because, I mean, there's other examples of coaches being able to recruit, but if you don't do anything with them, it doesn't matter. And I think Chad Morris was one of those people. This time comes from the 479. It says, John, can you talk about the new coach, how he can dig out of only having six recruits at this point? Well, first off, how a coach digs out of that is gets hired.
With two shovels.
Yeah, exactly. He gets hired first. And second off, what you're hoping is that whoever it ends up being hits the ground running. And I mean, soon as the press conference is over. Actually, no. As soon as he signs the piece of paper, he is making phone calls to any and every recruit that he wants, and especially to the recruits that are already committed, and to just get everybody on board. Because there's no easy way of doing that.
Well, I think one thing you do is, and it's been done since, you know, Bielema hired Barry Lunny. He was retained by Chad Morris. I think that there's a coach that has had his arms around this recruiting class, understands where they're at, and a coach, you know, not just for the interim, but I think for the long haul, a coach you ought to keep around on staff. Jeff Traylor is going to be another name that people think you should take a look at keeping because of his ties to East Texas. So I think there's some coaches on this staff from a recruiting standpoint can really help you maybe, you know, put back together some of this class, just depending on who you hire as your head coach. So everyone that comes in is obviously going to want to bring their staffs with them. But I think there's some pieces to the puzzle on this staff that could help, you know, accelerate the process of getting the 2020 class from being a dud this year.
Yeah, and let me put it this way too, folks. It's important to get at the ground running and recruiting, but you know what's even more important than that? Making sure the guys that are already on campus stay.
Right.
Like Traylon Burks, Trey Knox, all those guys. Like, I'm not saying that they're going to transfer. I don't know where their mind's at right now.
But you don't have control over it like you did before, where the AD could say, well, we're not going to sign that transfer waiver until the new coach comes in. We're not going to do that yet. Now they can just put their name in the portal.
Yeah.
Right?
And if you're Lane Kiffin or whoever, I mean, whoever's the coach is going to be, that's one of the first things you got to do, too, is because not only are you going to have to make up a lot of ground in the lost recruiting time, but the last thing you want to do is have that going against you and have some of your better, more talented, younger players looking to bounce out. I mean, let's be honest. Trey Knox is a talent.
Yep. Burks is as good a player as you got.
Exactly. You got guys like a Hudson Henry, who's going to be a big-time tight end. And again, I don't know if any of these guys are interested in the league. Maybe none of them are. Maybe all of them are all in on Arkansas. Maybe that's the case. But the last thing you can do is, if you're a new coach, is to come right in and not only have the recruiting stuff to go up against, but then see that, man, some of my young, great talent is bouncing out as well.
That's exactly right. You got to re-recruit your current roster.
Mm-hmm.
No question.
Yeah, and maybe even hit the transfer portal yourself as far as finding guys to come in. Graduate transfer, something like that that can really help out as well. I mean, it's going to be tough no matter who it is, no matter what it is, but hopefully you just don't handcuff yourself any worse than what you're at right now. All right, let's get into your Hog update here on The Morning Rush.
Arkansas football. It's the players running through the A. Hog hats. It's more than 70,000 fans calling Woo Pig Suey.
It's a great day to be a Razorback.
Guys, I've got just one thing I want to say to you. Touchdown, Arkansas!
Arkansas wins the national championship! The Arkansas Razorbacks have completed the dream season!
This is your Hog update on The Morning Rush.
Right, it is time for Hog Update, presented by Ozark Sportsman Supply.
Hey, Santa knows what's going on. He's going to be at the Ozarks this year to do all of his shopping for all your family and friends. Why don't you do it there as well? Santa knows this is the store to go to for all the best brands like Benelli, Glock, Smith & Wesson, Tika, Wilson Combat, and many more. Clothing brands by Umgee, Drake, Carhartt, Columbia, boutique brands, Blowfish, and many, many more. And if you want something personalized for that special someone at work or in your family or even for yourself, check out everything they have in the new print and embroidery shop where they can custom embroider your name on anything or your company logo on any item as well. It's all at the Ozarks. Why would you shop anywhere else this holiday season? Have a joyful and easy shopping experience at the Ozarks. Ozark Sportsman Supply and Ozark Outpost Casual Clothing and Footwear. Highway 412 West, barely out of Springdale, in Taneytown.
So for your Hog update, as was mentioned in the quarterback situation for LSU, they have three quarterbacks listed in an or situation, Nick Starkel, KJ Jefferson, and John Stephen Jones. Barry Lunny says that they've already got a quarterback. And he's like, they already got their starter. They're just not telling anybody. So, you know, at least maybe you can have a little more trust and faith in that. I don't know, but at least it's not one of those deals where they say, yeah, we'll decide once the game starts. No, it's like that you have it. Makes it feel a little better, though, the fact that...
Or worse than that, this quarterback A is going to get the first two series, quarterback B the second two series, and then we'll go from there. That's even worse.
Mm. Yeah, I never want to see that happen again, ever. I never hope, whoever the new coach is, I hope that...
Quarterback A gets the first half, quarterback B gets the second half. That's even worse.
Ugh. Because let's be honest, Tommy, next year your quarterback, assuming nobody leaves, is going, your quarterback room is going to be Nick Starkel as a senior, John Stephen Jones, and KJ Jefferson. And then maybe if whoever comes in is able to get Jacoby Criswell, which I know is an option, you know, they'll be your four. And then Jack Lindsey. I mean, you'll have some people that will be in the quarterback room. But the last things you ever want to do is to have another situation where you got those quarterbacks and then in the game one, we don't really know. We'll play some guys here and there. Game two. Game three, game four, still don't know, still can't decide, and still making it worse on these players in their practices where some guys will get first-team reps, other guys won't. So you just can't find, you can't have yourself in that same situation because that's just going to be bad for everybody involved. And also in the other news for the Razorbacks is they have a basketball game tonight, but Reggie Chaney's status will be announced tonight, sometime today, I guess, in an official statement released by the University of Arkansas. But it looks like and it feels like he's going to be eligible and back with the team once again after serving a suspension. But, you know, tonight's game, I guess it'll be another one of those games that people will be excited about if Arkansas wins, but it's not necessarily going to mean they're going to go into the NCAA tournament, even though, Tommy, Joe Lunardi has Arkansas as his last four teams in, one of his last four teams in.
Yeah, so yeah, it's November, so...
Can't get excited about it at all?
I'm very optimistic about the direction things are headed. So,
but just not.
I just know that we're in November and March is a long. We're talking about something that's going to happen next year, man.
Yep. But hey, I will say this about Lunardi. He's pretty accurate. I'm not saying in November he's got it going on.
Let's
but just
see if he has Arkansas in the bracket in February.
So what's the win total number they have to get to, you think?
Oh, I think with this non-conference schedule, they've got to be well 21? Into the 20s. Yeah.
21, 22?
Yeah.
That'll be enough?
Yep. You're not playing a tough enough schedule to get much benefit of the doubt, I guess, because of your strength of schedule.
Yeah. So. Well, I guess we'll find out because, as Eric Musselman said when he arrived, he's like, this team has more talent right now than my team did at Nevada when we went to the Sweet 16. Mm-hmm. Could have been all talk, maybe. But I think there's reason to get excited about for Razorback fans just about
I don't the imagine he had very many Isaiah Joes running around.
No, I don't think so either. So, and even guys like Mason Jones. Yeah, has really come along.
He's really become a much better player this year.
Yeah.
You want to talk about development and what a staff can do for a player? Look at Mason Jones.
Yeah. Yeah. And even a guy like Adriel Bailey's really upped his game, too. So, yeah, just a few tweaks here and there can really make the difference. B.E. in Clarksville texted, and he's like, think about it like this. You have John come in for the first half of the show, then Ruskin for the last half. Both have totally different topics, and there's no consistency.
So what do I do?
I guess you're Chad Morris, and you're throwing quarterbacks in there.
I'm the one to blame.
Here's the key, though, B.E. Who's the one doing the show prep? Is it me or Ruskin? Because, you know, who's getting the first team reps here in practices?
Yeah, good point.
Because, you know, it could be, as we saw, whoever got the first team reps ended up being harmed more often than not.
Right.
So I think that would be the
second quarterback always looked better than the first.
Yeah, except for whatever reason.
Yeah.
It always looked the same. Adam and Rogers texted and says, we talk about Chad Moore's not developing players, but he is a Hall of Fame high school coach, and that's all you have to do to win in high school. Why did it not translate to developing players here? Love the show. Well, I think that it's, I mean, you're talking about two completely different levels. And I think in high school you develop players, but at the same time, too, you're not having to manage as much in high school level. Like, I know to a smaller scale, but going from Texas high school football where you know the kid, like you can see the kids that are going to be coming up through your school system. You know, it's not like you have to go out and recruit them. Mm-hmm. You see them coming up, you know you're going to have a little easier, also knowing what you're having to deal with and who you're going up against. But in the SEC, I mean, my goodness, you're having to go out and recruit the players you want. You're gonna have to go out and make sure you manage all these players where you got 85 players and whatnot, as well as the assistant coaches. It's very more intricate. It's a lot more specific. So the high school level is a lot different, a little different than what it is going to the SEC. So I think that was a big factor in it as well.
You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light, proud sponsor of Arkansas Athletics.
Give is to Alex Collins straight up the middle, and Collins on the run. They won't catch him. Alex Collins is going to take it all the way to the house. Touchdown, Arkansas, 80 yards.
Welcome back into the Morning Rush. We are brought to you by Williams Tractor.
You know, as the calendar starts to wind down, Williams Tractor is winding up the savings during the True Blue Savings event that's going on right now. Williams Tractor can help you take advantage of 0% financing, cashback savings, and other year-end specials on New Holland tractors, hay and forage products, and material handling equipment. It's the True Blue Savings event at Williams Tractor in Fayetteville, Berryville, or Bobcat of Northwest Arkansas in Rogers.
Let's go to the Cherokee Casino Hotline and welcome in Tom Murphy of the Arkansas Democrat Gazette. Good morning, Tom. How you doing, man?
I'm doing wonderful. Good to be here.
Well, it's good to have you on, man. There's a lot of things we want to get into. Let's start with football. We got to see a little bit from what Barry Lunny had to say yesterday in his press conference, getting into game week. And I think the one major thing that people were at least talking about was the quarterback situation, where you had three players listed at oars, but he also said that they haven't decided. They just don't want to give any sort of edge or advantage to LSU. What do you make of that whole situation on how they handled the quarterback situation?
Well, I can't blame Barry Lunny and the coaching staff for not just putting it out there what they plan to do. I mean, it's pretty obvious that the last several games they've played more than one quarterback. They played three against Mississippi State. Each of those guys has some assets to them, and then, you know, each of them has, you know, holes in their game or, you know, inexperience. And I thought it was funny that down in Baton Rouge, Ed Orgeron, he has this kind of standard way he goes about his press conference, and he welcomes everybody and makes a few statements about the last game. Then he starts talking about the next opponent. And he goes, their quarterback, K.J. Jefferson. So it was almost as if he thinks K.J. is the starter, and I think that's what they're going to do. But I also think they're going to work other guys in there. So we'll see how it plays out. It adds a certain amount of intrigue to the game.
Offensive line-wise, you're going to see is this the healthiest the line's been in some time coming off the bye week? Or what do you think the status is, led by Ty Clary there in the middle, with Austin Capps going to be back over on the left side? Looks like he's back. What do you think the status is, or how effective do you think this offensive line can be at LSU going up against one of the top defenses?
Yeah, huge task. And relatively healthy. I mean, if Kirby Adcock can play, then they've got their backup left guard to Austin Capps. But, you know, losing Colton Jackson, who's had an up-and-down career, that was a huge blow, and losing Noah Gatland. So this line wasn't what it could have been if they had managed to stay healthy. And it's amazing that there's been some years in recent past where all five guys would have started all 12 or all 13 games, and that hasn't been in the two recent past. And then the last couple years, just all kind of, you know, issues and injuries and what have you. But, you know, you look at LSU, and they've had great personnel on defense. But Ole Miss, I mean, it was stunning to watch how many times Plumlee got around the edge with that RPO game and gave the ball to Ely some. But Plumlee's a fast guy. And, I mean, that's to me what progress looks like, what Ole Miss has stayed with this year. And the fact that they move the ball and all that against LSU. LSU is getting Michael Divinity back, it looks like, this week, which is going to help them. But I think they're ranked 47th in total defense. So this hasn't been the dominating style that they've had in some recent seasons.
Well, Tom, I want to ask you about, not only the defensive side, but also just LSU in general. Arkansas is a 46-point dog to LSU, and that breaks a record as far as how long this thing's been tracked. That's the largest spread possibly in SEC history between two SEC teams. So it doesn't seem like the expectation's very high for the Razorbacks, but what do you make of that spread? And if you're Barry Lunney and the Razorbacks, what kind of mentality are you going into with LSU?
Well, it's a huge spread, and it's based on the fact that after many years of talking about they're going to open up the offense, they've actually done it. And with a second-year starter in Joe Burrow, who just has all the intangibles and a big arm, great leadership skills, he can run it, and it's the perfect mixture with the talent they always have at receiver and at tailback, and obviously a good enough offensive line. They are blowing it up on offense, and it's going to be really hard for Arkansas to stop these guys because they're so precise. And even when plays break down, and I watched a great chunk of that Ole Miss game, Burrow can move around in the pocket, and then his receivers come toward him or cut across the field, and they're fast. And a lot of like playground type plays happen in addition to their normal sets. So, going to be really hard to stop. And the mentality that Barry Lunney talked about was he's hearing from a lot of people, well, hey, you know, go down there. What have you got to lose? And what he thinks is there's a lot to gain. They just want to reestablish who they are, what their identity is, and look like a competent offense. And that's been a struggle at sometimes this season.
I imagine some of this just boils down to pride. They just hadn't played with a lot of pride, and they want to take these last two games to show they just have some self-pride about what they're doing.
Absolutely, that weighs into it. I mean, it's a team that's been beaten down by, you know, the losses, by upsets like North Texas last year, San Jose this year. Just when they had come off that Colorado State game and feeling good about themselves, and they were dancing at Club Dub, then that happens. And obviously, a lot of the media coverage has been about their flaws. I mean, that's what we're supposed to do, you know, cover the team. So there will be a lot of pride at stake. And there's one thing to keep in mind. John Chavis, against the teams he formerly coached with, Texas A&M and LSU, they've had decent performances, as if, you know, Chavis is well aware of the personnel and stuff. I don't see how that slows LSU down to some great extent, but they could give them some things, little wrinkles that, you know, they'll have to overcome. And they do have the talent to do that. But, hey, go out there and look good. Go out there and execute. Run the game plan. Be efficient and let the chips fall where they may.
All right, Tommy, you know, I got to ask you, this is almost like we're going to have a weekly update on it. But as far as the coaching search goes, I mean, any names that you've thought of recently, be like, hey, that'd be a good one. And any sort of flair to that? What's going on in your mind as far as the coaching search goes?
Well, I think what's going on is that Hunter Yurecek has his intended targets and is in the process of contacting the reps and gauging interest, and I'm sure that's already in progress. He's kept a tight lid on things, but I think there's a foursome that you've got to think that are attractive to the Razorbacks and that have their sections of the fan base who would be very supportive. And I think that includes Mike Leach and Lane Kiffin and Gus Malzahn and Mike Norvell. And then you branch out from there. There's a couple other guys like Eli Drinkwitz at Appalachian State's first season, and that might be a bit of a gamble, but I just kind of think we're in this pause mode, and it's going to go down pretty quickly after the game the day after Thanksgiving. And I wouldn't doubt that they would be right on the brink of being able to do something unless there's some holdups. And so I don't know if we're going to hear any links that so-and-so rep says that Yurecek has talked to them or there's some deal in waiting. But we'll see how that plays out these last couple of weeks.
All right, got 10 seconds. Does Texas Southern score 48 points tonight?
Wow. I'll go ahead and I'll say no. And by the way, on Thursday, let's talk about Muss a little bit. Man, this dude is getting it done.
Yeah, he absolutely is. Tom Murphy, the Arkansas Democrat Gazette. Appreciate it, Tom, man. We'll catch up with you on Thursday, all right?
Later. See ya.
All right. All guests, join us via the Cherokee Casino hotline at 877-377-6963.
Good betting line or something. 48 points or pick your number.
Shoot.
For Arkansas's opponents.
They do it four games in a row? Hard not to get excited. Scrubs and Dubs coming up next on The Morning Rush. Stay with us.
You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light, proud sponsor of Arkansas Athletics.
We're going to get into some scrubs and dubs here on the Morning Rush here in just a second. But first, let's go to the Cherokee Casino Hotline. Mike is calling from East Texas. What's going on, Mike?
Hey, how you doing today?
Pretty good, man. How about you?
I'm doing great. Doing great. The reason I called was, I guess everybody's talking about which coach they would like to see come. And, you know, I think it needs to be a guy with Power 5 experience.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody who's coached at least some in a major conference. And to me, Mike Leach fits what we need the best or the most. He's got a proven track record. He's been in two different conferences. He has won both places. He's had longevity in both places. He takes talent, less talent, and does more with it, which is what Arkansas, you know, realistically, and we can't recruit with the Alabamas and LSUs of the world. You know, I just think that he's a little quirky, but he is, he doesn't have character issues. The thing at Texas Tech, I'm not sure what all went down there exactly, but I'm not sure that was everything that it was originally said to be.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, with Lane Kiffin, you kind of wonder. With Gus, I wonder, can he win at Arkansas like he's won at Auburn? Because he's not going to get the same players at Arkansas that he got at Auburn. And so, to me, you kind of Mike Leach is the guy. I wanted him last time before they hired Chad Morris, but anyway, I just want to call in. Everybody has their 2 cents worth, mm-hmm. So I listen to y'all every morning. And so I just this morning for some reason I said I'm just going to call in, put my 2 cents worth in too. So, we need something that's got a little, I think the kids on the roster, I don't know this, but, especially the Burks and the Knoxes and the Henrys would be excited about playing in an offense like Mike Leach's, where he spreads it around. But, I don't know. I've been a fan for all my life. I grew up in Arkansas. I live in East Texas now. My kids were not born in Arkansas, but they're all Arkansas fans because they don't have a choice. You know, it's one of those deals. But, you know, I told my boys the other day because they were kind of discouraged after the Western Kentucky game. And I said, I've never seen it as bad as it's been right now, mm-hmm. in my lifetime. And so I hope that we can get somebody in there that just gives some hope, some hope to the rest of us, you know.
Yeah.
Because it seems kind of hopeless right now. But anyway, that's all I wanted to say, and I appreciate you letting me get on there.
Well, I appreciate you calling in. Appreciate you listening in, Mike. I know that things are tough for everybody. But as far as your Mike Leach point, listen, we've said it. They could do a lot worse than Mike Leach. His resume speaks for itself. It's just a matter of, is that the route they want to go? Or maybe they want to go someone a little younger. I don't know. But again, if they decided to say, if whatever date it was, 100-year chick says, hey, Mike Leach is our coach, I'm not going to have an issue with it.
I think that's probably a name more fans would be behind than even Lane Kiffin.
Yeah, I do too.
Perhaps even more than Gus Malzahn.
Yeah.
Perhaps more than, I think maybe Leach might be the most desirable name for many coaches, or for many fans rather,
yeah,
out of all the coaches.
He's won at smaller programs in Power 5.
Well, here's what Mike Leach has done that can't be overlooked. He took Texas Tech from a program that was,
yep,
that was in ashes, if you will, not in a lot of success, built them back up, had a great group of assistant coaches around him. You look at all the coaches that came off that tree with Mike Leach from Texas Tech, it's amazing, astonishing. And he's taken and done the same thing at Washington State. Now, he had some problems with his exit at Texas Tech, and we know about that, but he's taken two programs and rebuilt them from nothing. To me, Leach is the number one target because he's done that.
Yeah. And as far as his exit from Texas Tech, I blame more Craig James because I want to, and that guy sucks. So I'm going to go with that.
Because you want Leach as your coach.
Well, that too, but still, Craig James sucks. All right, let's go ahead and get into scrubs and dubs here on the Morning Rush.
Some people were born to get dubs.
I'm hollering loud because I can back up every word. And I'll whoop any man in the world. And I want everybody out there on TV to know it. I am the greatest.
Others were born to be scrubs.
These guys, I don't know if we're going to be able to beat anybody this year.
Don't listen to him, Hank. He's a loser.
Good thing we get to decide who gets dubs and who's the scrubs on the Morning Rush.
That's right. It's time for Dubs and Scrubs, brought to you by Art's Barbecue.
You know, they can make Thanksgiving go to another level for you and your family this year. Just call Arts now, 479-452-2550. Arts can smoke and cook everything, including the side dishes for your Thanksgiving feast this year. You want to smoke ham or turkey, no problem. They can smoke any other kind of meat that you want, whether it's a beef tenderloin, prime rib roast, you want a pork loin, anything that you're looking to do this year, they can handle it. Plus, like we said, all the sides that they can do as well. So if you want someone to take care of the entire meal, including desserts, call Arts this year and get your order in now for Thanksgiving. 452-2550 for Arts Barbecue in Fort Smith.
Do you want to start with dubs or scrubs? Which one do we want to do?
You knew you were out sick yesterday. We'll let you choose.
Okay, how about this? We'll just start with dubs.
All right.
We'll go with the positive. Who got the dub? All right, I'll go ahead. Good deal. And I'll kick it off. I got two of them. But right. The first one I want to give a dub to is Tua Tagovailoa.
All right.
And obviously, him and getting his injury with his hip, having to have surgery, ended up not being as serious as they once feared. It's a bad deal. He's out for the season. I don't know exactly what impact it's going to have on his pro career, but they have said that, experts have said that he will make a full recovery and all of that. So it's great, and that's awesome.
Yeah, there was a tweet this morning that Laura Rutledge put out that this is not the same kind of injury as Bo Jackson, because Bo continued to play on his injured hip and did irreparable damage, that Tua got immediate surgery and medical care, and he will make a full recovery.
Can't imagine anyone playing on an injury like that, but hey, that was Bo Jackson for you. But, you know, just seeing that, I mean, it's sad, and you hate it, but to see the kid's positive outlook on everything. I mean, he's over there, and he's in the hospital bed, kind of dancing a little bit. I mean, he has a great heart and a great spirit about everything. And to me, you know, knowing me, if I was that talented and that great and knew what was ahead of me in my future, I would just be just down in the dumps. But the fact that just a day after surgery, he's having a good old time, he's feeling good about everything, is just, that's an awesome thing to see. And so for to have that spirit and to have that real mentality after what he's gone through with his injuries, I think it's just absolutely incredible. So my dub goes to Tua Tagovailoa.
That's one of my dubs I'd written down. Just response to Tua's injury.
Yeah,
you covered a lot of what I was going to say, but I was also going to say the rest of college football, all of the coaches, players, media, just the response for everyone in that community, I thought was pretty awesome to recognize greatness. And to to respond to it the way they did. So I'll move on and talk about something else, but I think that's a great dub. How about the Arkansas women's soccer team?
Mm-hmm.
Got them down as a dub because they got a dub and moving on to the second round of the NCAA tournament. Don't know a lot about soccer. We don't talk a lot about soccer. We're not going to pretend we know about soccer. We're just glad to see an Arkansas program having success and consistently being a factor in postseason play.
Especially a program that was not a good program before the new coach arrived, and then you see it get turned around. That's what makes him even more impressive. So
my dub, or one of my dubs this week, is for the Arkansas women's soccer team who beat North Texas this last week.
Yeah.
3-0.
Yeah. So hopefully they can keep it going. And by the way, Tommy, I also wanted, if you want to give the women's basketball, you know, they're ranked in the top 25. Just to let you know, the women's basketball Final Four is in NOLA. So, you know, if we need to make a trip down to New Orleans we may need to go to New Orleans. I know you're a big NOLA guy.
I would love to go to New Orleans.
So
somebody else pay for it. Yeah, absolutely.
Just throwing that out there. So,
by the way, soccer team plays again Thursday.
Do they know the opponent yet?
NC State.
Okay.
4:00.
Yeah, child's play. They'll win that one easy. So, NC State's a scrub. So that may be my scrub. All right, Matty T, do you have a dub you want to give out?
I do. Are you guys familiar with Brandon Matthews?
I don't think so.
Well, he's a PGA golfer who went professional in 2016. He's only won just once. Well, he was on the brink of his second career win and a corresponding spot in the 2020 British Open when he entered a sudden-death playoff with Ricardo Cilia on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
And the two men were tied the first two holes, and as Matthews stood over an 8-footer for birdie to extend the playoff to a fourth hole, a yell rang out from the crowd. Matthews missed the putt, despite having felt his putter was dialed back. So he's out, but as it turns out, the voice belonged to a middle-aged man with Down syndrome, a detail Matthews only came to know because the tour officials sought him out after to offer an explanation in the locker room. Well, he returned, gave the guy a big hug, signed a ball for him, and let's hear from Matthews about that.
See if I can... Hold on, can we do that at the same time? Tell you what, let's just cut this.
Make sure that he understood that I wasn't upset. Made sure that he had a positive experience out of it all. And just made sure that he didn't feel any bad feelings from what happened.
So he may have been a loser on the course, but he's a winner in my book.
Yeah.
The golf's a great game because second place still pays over $1 million a lot of times. So,
yeah. You know? Yeah. He still gets it. But yeah, that type of thing.
But that's
too.
The kind, I mean, we saw that. And that's a great one, Matty T. At the Clemson game this weekend, Dabo Sweeney taking time to make the day of a fan with some challenges. And he went to the sideline and visited and signed a football. And, you know, those are, you know, on Twitter, you probably saw that video. Those are the kind of things that humanize our heroes, you know?
Absolutely.
And, you know, make these sports stars and people we watch on TV more real.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we saw the video in kind of a different set of circumstances with Marty Smith helping out a reporter, encouraging a reporter who was struggling to get his stand up right. You know, and said, hey, that's the hardest part of the business right here. You keep it up. You know, it just was encouraging.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the kind of things we need to see more of from people.
Yeah, because, I mean, you think about it. It makes people's, not just their day, but, I mean, that can have a huge impact on them for the rest of their lives. So, yeah, it's awesome to see moments like that. And, you know, that's definitely a great dub. Now let's, get into more of the negative things in the scrub side of things. It was getting too positive.
Now that we've talked about how awesome people are.
Yeah, that's right. Now we've really,
let's
tear some people down here real quick. Okay, I'm going to go ahead and start this one off.
All right.
I hope I'm pronouncing it. We don't talk politics on here, and I don't want to talk politics on here. But Eric Swalwell, is that how you say his name? Swalwell?
Close enough.
Yeah, he's a Democratic.
His name's really not important.
It's not. He was a Democratic nominee. He's out of the race. He's no longer a run for president. But anyways, he was on MSNBC being interviewed, of course, about the impeachment proceedings and everything. Well, this went viral yesterday, and I want to know you guys' thoughts on this. Because there is a noise that is made during this clip, and I want you guys to tell me what you think it is. Take a listen.
Chris, so far, the evidence is uncontradicted that the president used taxpayer dollars to ask the Ukrainians to help him cheat an election. And the complaint that I've heard from Republicans...
Okay, let's replay that. So, you got to hear this now.
Chris, so far, the evidence is uncontradicted that the president used taxpayer dollars to ask the Ukrainians to help him cheat an election. And the complaint that I've heard from Republicans...
Okay, what is that? What is that, Tom?
I think he was passing gas.
I think he crapped his pants is what it sounds like. I mean,
wonder he's not going to be president.
I know.
That wasn't the fine Corinthian leather he was sitting on, right?
No. Well, what cracks me up about this whole thing is that it went viral yesterday, and everyone's just dying laughing about it. And then, like, MSNBC and Eric, they're, like, coming out, they're like... No, that wasn't me. I didn't do that.
That was the dog.
Yeah, I was like, hey, listen, buddy.
The dog.
Yeah. Listen, buddy. As I was always told as a kid, if you denied it, you supplied it. So, that is legitimate.
And somebody stepped on a bullfrog.
Yeah, like at least come up with something better than that and just say it wasn't me. But also, what was funny too about it is MSNBC is now trying to blame it on a coffee mug scraping across the table.
Come on,
that, I have heard a coffee mug scrape across the table. That is not what it sounds like. So my scrub goes to Eric Swalwell just not owning it, man.
And coffee doesn't smell
you
like
did
that
it.
Either.
No, it's just like just say you did it. Own up to it.
Yeah.
Say
it was me.
Yeah, it was me. Sorry,
I'm a human being.
What do you want me to do? I mean,
had a bowl of beans for breakfast.
Oh my goodness! But that was the funniest thing yesterday. And so
I don't know. That's pretty incriminating.
I know. It's like Tommy said. Maybe that's why he's not going to be president right there. It's because he can't hold it in. Has to pass gas on the air. So that goes my scrub is to Eric Swalwell.
All right, speaking of people messing their britches yesterday, how about Philip Rivers? 4 interceptions last night on Monday Night Football down in Mexico as the Chargers lose 24-17. First, he had 3 interceptions in the last game, 4 in this game. First quarterback to do that for the Chargers since 1999.
Not a good stat.
And it makes you wonder about Philip Rivers, who's 38 years old, and does he have a future in this league beyond this year? But 4 interceptions last night on Monday Night Football, supposedly the biggest stage in pro football. I don't know if that's true anymore, but 4 interceptions.
He might be the most unlikable quarterback, too. I just never have liked that dude. He's kind of a jerk. Him or Jay Cutler are kind of cut from the same cloth when it comes to their likability factor. But, yeah, it's kind of sad because, you know, if you're a Hunter Henry fan, you like to get a quarterback out there that can, you know, make some moves there. But who knows? Maybe the Chargers are going to be looking for a new quarterback as well. But, yeah, can't have that. Do you have a scrub, too,
Maddie? I do. It's funny, though, reading these text comments whenever we get a story like that, you know, people chiming in.
Oh, yeah, like Robert and Ford Smith said, it sounded like a barking spider. Never heard that one before. But, I don't take that one.
And then, of course, B from Clarksville, first to smelt it to delta.
Exactly. So what, exactly.
Yeah, denied its supply.
Their rules. Yeah.
Well, surely we can move on from this conversation. We're moving please. On.
Okay, well, then my.
Let's clear the air and move on.
Nice. Let's open a window. My scrub is George Lucas. So, you know, we've been all about the Disney Plus, right?
That's right.
And, yeah. Of course, they added all the great Star Wars movies. And you thought that they were in Disney's hands now. But, well, before. George Lucas sold Star Wars. He still managed to change a movie. Once again, you know, he loves to go back and change things.
Which I've always hated.
I hated it too. It's like, hey, I always liked this scene, but I thought there should be like, you know, some big monsters walking around in the background. And well, this is the famous Han shot first scene, right?
Yeah.
In the original, Han Solo shoots Greedo, right? Well, it's been changed to where like, you know, Greedo shoots first, Han's head tilts aside. Well,
they changed it again?
They changed it again. Well, within an hour of Disney Plus being out, some super nerd online realized that they had altered that scene. And so play this clip in it audibly and see if you...
You're talking about this right here?
Yeah.
Now, Oscar.
Yes, I bet you have.
McClunky.
They added the word McClunky for no rhyme or reason.
McClunky.
George Lucas added Greedo saying McClunky, or McClunky. So I don't know what that means. Where does this fit in? But my scrub is George Lucas after all these years, you know.
He still finds a way to mess with perfection.
It's like we've got The Mandalorian. Everything's going great now. We're on a good path. And then he still manages to go back and screw it up. So I don't know what McClunky means. We can use that as a phrase, though, when something is just screwed up beyond repair.
McClunky.
And you keep screwing things up. It's a McClunky.
Yeah, so. Well, that was a McClunky scene for sure. Well, that's listen, I'm a big Star Wars fan, and I've made it known on this show. I know Tommy's probably not on the Star Wars bandwagon like I am. Have you even seen Star Wars?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, well, at least you know what we're talking about then. But I just never have been, like, imagine any other movie that they go back and change. Like, imagine if The Godfather, which is like one of the most perfect movies there ever has ever been made, somebody like going back in and adding just special effects to the background. It's like, it kind of defeats the purpose of the magic of where it was.
If something is considered art, you leave it the way it is. You can't keep going back. And it's like, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. You just leave it the way it is, and it'll be fine. That's all you got
to
do.
So he managed to screw it up one last time.
I guess he had to get his name out there somehow to make sure that he gets one final send-off.
Well, here's his name. You're George Lucas, McClunky. You're my scrub, McClunky.
You're
one big McClunky.
You're the scrub here on the Morning Rush today, so I'm sure he'll take that to heart. So there you have it. There's the dubs and scrubs of today. If you want to give your dub or your scrub out, be sure to call or text the Cherokee Casino Hotline at 877 377-6963 is the number to call or text in.
Another scrub real quick. Illness.
Man,
I had it last week. You were down yet. We had, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4 people out sick yesterday.
Ooh.
4. We don't have that many people that work here.
Well, I'm telling you, man, it's one of those things. You don't realize how you're really worthless you are until you actually talk for a living.
We knew you were worthless.
Well, I didn't realize it, though. I didn't realize how worthless I was.
So I did have to.
You start feeling sick and you can't talk.
I went back on the video stream yesterday and you see it about halfway for a good 10 minutes or so. You see John just fading away.
I tapped out, man. I tapped out. I couldn't do it. I couldn't do it anymore. I didn't have any sort of shot that they could have given me. Nothing. I just had to. I had to tap out.
Kudos to you for toughening up and getting in here today.
Yeah. Well, you know, next man up, Tommy Kraft steps in. He's my backup quarterback. He's my Ben Hicks. He comes in and he takes care of business.
I didn't throw any pick sixes, I don't think, yesterday.
No, but you led the team down to at least give him a chance to win. It was more like the A&M game.
We missed a field goal at the end, but
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. At least you gave him a puncher's chance at it. So, yes. Absolutely. Yeah, definitely throwing sickness in the scrubs.
Yeah, it's terrible. Everywhere you go.
Your number one source of local news and information you need.
Like the Bud Light Morning Rush podcast? Check out the Halftime Pod at hitthatline.com.